Thank you, Cornell, for that special item. And now it is my pleasure to welcome you all to this virtual Mount Gravatt Seventh-day Adventist Church. All of you who are members of our church, young and old, our children, welcome. Those of you who are guests, those of you who are maybe just surfing through internet and have seen our church for the first time and want to see what is happening, we want to welcome you also this morning. Let me start with prayer. Father God, we come this morning before you and we want to thank you for the privilege given to open the word, to understand what you say to us at this time. We pray for the presence of your Spirit as we are seated and as we want to know what is your will and what is it your word wants to tell us this morning. Lord, we pray for the power of your Spirit to be upon us, to stir our hearts, to enlighten our minds, to quicken our will. We pray for the blessing and for the miracle of change. So, Lord, may your presence be with us as we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. But let me start by asking this question. What was the message which turned around the lives of people like Luther, Martin Luther, Wycliffe, Huss, Wesley, and all of the reformers? There was one message. There was something in the message that turned their personal lives around, and then they influenced the world and they changed the world upside down. So what was that message? What was the message that Reformation was proclaiming that turned the world of that time and that time period upside down? What was the message of 1888 which turned the Adventist world upside down? There was such a message. And what is the message which will turn our world upside down and turn many to God in the end of time? And I believe there is one specific message which is going to do that. Ellen White spoke about this when she says, "The time of test is just upon us, for the loud cry of the third angel has already begun. In the revelation of the righteousness of Christ about the sin-pardoning Redeemer, this is the beginning of the light of the angel whose glory shall fill the whole earth. I put forward to you that what happened at the time of Reformation, what happened in the time of Martin Luther and all of the reformers, was a personal message that changed their personal lives. And then that changed the world around them. It was the message that came to us as a church and also stirred the church, and many were changed." And Ellen White also speaks and says that this is the message that will change the world at the end of time. And I want to put forward to you that the world today is in the right kind of a condition, which is waiting for this message to hear it, this light to shine in the darkness and change the personal lives of people and to change the world. Not much time is left, and this message needs to be heard. In this time of coronavirus, in this time of political turmoil in the world, in this time of economic crisis, in this time of social disturbances, in this time of social changes in the world, when everything, if you will, is getting upside down, when people are seeking, when things have not settled fully yet, there needs to be message for people to hear, which will change their lives. So we are starting with a new series sermon series. And the sermon series we have entitled Redemption Story through the book of Romans and through the book of Revelation. And today we are going to look at the power of the gospel. There is a message that was given originally to the first church, the church of Ephesus, in the book of Revelation. And that message is kind of very similar to the message of the end time, the message given to the Laodicean church, the church of the end. The message sent to the Ephesians, where Jesus himself speaks to them and say to them this: "Yet I hold this against you, you have forsaken your first love." But also the message to the Laodicean is this one: "Because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out." So when you think about these two messages, the first church and the last church of the book of Revelation, there has to come a breakthrough. Something needs to happen. A change needs to take place. A change in personal lives. A change in the personal lives of the people of God, which will affect them at the level of their mind, at the level of their heart. And there is a message from God that can do that, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Exactly the same message to the church of Ephesus as well as to the church of Laodicea. There is this stalemate, this state of lukewarmness that can change and must change. Either you are going to become cold or you're going to become hot. There has to be some kind of a breakthrough. What is the message which will make or bring about this breakthrough? Both churches need it. We need it. This world that is in turmoil also needs a change and is working frantically for a change. But nothing will work unless God brings it about. In Genesis chapter 1 to 4, we find that it is all about the glorious beginning of the human race. But also what we find in these four chapters, it's all about what went wrong with the human race. That's the very start of the Bible. But then the book of Romans from 1 to 4 is probably the most comprehensive description about what God did and what God did about the most fundamental human problem, which is the problem of sin. Genesis 1 to 4, about glory, but about the fall into sin. And this is the condition of human heart, a sinful state, which by ourselves we can never resolve. But then the book of Romans from 1 to 4 is talking about God's solution, about the human state, a sinful state of a human, a deprived state of human, which we cannot change by ourselves. And here in chapter 1 of the book of Romans, we find this jewel of a text, which goes like this. Paul is speaking and he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." You see, We hear that Martin Luther, and many believe this actually, that the book of Romans was responsible for his conversion experience, and that verse 16 and 17 played a pivotal role in the life of Martin Luther. He found that these two verses were a dynamite which, when lodged into his mind and heart and quickened by the Spirit of God, totally transformed the life of this monk by the name Martin Luther. And in his own words, this is what he said: "I greatly long to understand Paul's epistle to the Romans, and nothing stood in the way but that one expression, the justice of God, because I took it to mean the justice whereby God is just and deals justly in punishing the unjust. My situation was that although an impeccable monk, I stood before God as a sinner, troubled in conscience, and I had no confidence that my merit would assuage me. Therefore, I did not love a just and angry God, but rather hated and murmured against him. Night and day, I pondered until I saw the connection between the justice of God and the statement that just shall live by his faith. Then I grasped that through gift and sheer mercy of God, mercy that God justifies us through faith. Thereupon I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through open doors into paradise." Luther made a major breakthrough, and a total transformation of his life took place. I want to put forward to you that what happened here with Luther really and literally not only changed his life, but it changed the life of the world around him at that time. Somehow the world was in the right condition to hear this message, for this message to be lodged into the world and transform the world. I put forward to you that this message is just about right now for the right condition of the world around us that needs to hear it and to change the world. In the words of Ellen White, the light is going to shine in the darkness, and this light will literally come from this message. Now, question that I ask, and it concerns you personally, and it concerns those who are around you, and it is a single question: how can you make a breakthrough or help others make this fundamental, life-changing, and spiritual breakthrough in your life and also in the lives of others? I put forward to you, and I want you to follow me very carefully as you are seated there, and as you are listening in the comfort of your home, I pray for the stirring of the Spirit of God on your heart and on your mind as you listen to these three what's, these three questions we are going to ask. And I pray that God, by the power of His Spirit, will make that breakthrough in your life and in my life. The world is ready. The world is ready. And is waiting for Martin Luther's of our time to give them this message that transformed their lives and our lives, and that will transform the lives of others. What is the gospel? Number one, what is the gospel made of? And what is the power of the gospel which brings about a change? So, number one, what is the gospel? So let's start. Let's unfold this. Let's make sure that we really understand it. The word gospel comes from the Greek word euangelion. And this is a compound word, and I want you to see it. The first part of this word is eu, which means good. Which means good. Eu means good. And the second part of this compound word is angelos, which means angel or herald. So it is a herald of good news. So the gospel, the meaning of this single word, is made up of two words, eu agelos, meaning the herald of good news. The herald of good news. So, for us to understand it, let's go back to the time of Paul to have a grasp of it. What was the news? How was the news spread at that time? What was being used for the news to be spread at that time? I want to put forward to you that there was no newspaper at that time. This is how the news is spread at our time, newspaper or radio. Well, less and less of it, I would say to you. TV, internet, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. These are the ways we live in the age when it is so instant, it is so quick. We are oversaturated with all sorts of news. Good news, bad news, fake news, all sorts of news. And people are constantly on that news. Their eyes are constantly glued on their phones, on the television sets. And we constantly absorb all sorts of news. And that is our problem. Somehow the human heart constantly expects either to be entertained or to hear news. But at the time of Paul, the news was spread by the heralds who were sent to spread the news. And very often it was in the context of heralds spreading a news about military victory. And they would proclaim and shout. And in the time of Romans, they would shout and say, "Victory, victory, victory." That or that general in that part of the Roman world, he just achieved a major victory. I bring you gospel. I bring you good news. People heard it. Herald came to give them the good news. Now, Paul is speaking about the gospel, which is the good news. And this gospel placed in the bosom of Christianity is so different from anything else that any other religion can offer to you. I want to put forward to you that any religion, no matter which, would give you nothing but advice. Advice what you have to do to be a better person. Follow this. Follow this set of rules. Follow these teachings. Follow these instructions. And then you can be part of that religion. Follow this advice. Christianity, on the other hand, is not about giving advice. Christianity is all about giving you good news. And there is a difference. And we need to understand. Remember, our original question that we ask is, what is it that you need to grasp, you need to put into your heart, which will bring about a breakthrough in a stalemate of your life? And I put forward to you that this news is fresh every single day, every single day. And it's not advice, it's news. And it is called good news. And the first breakthrough is this one. You need to understand that you must distinguish between all other religions and Christianity and grasp the fact that this is the news. That this is the news. But what does that mean? Well, let's try to break this down so the understanding and enlightenment comes. How would average person answer the question, what is the heart of Christianity? If you were to go to a person who might be just a nominal Christian or non-Christian or atheist or non-believer and ask them simply a question, what is Christianity all about? Let me ask you, how would they answer that question? What is it they would say? What would they say? This is probably what it boils down to. This would be typically the answer. Try to be and live like Jesus. Try to love your neighbor as yourself and live by the golden rule. That would be the answer. But is that the answer? Is that the heart of Christianity? Is that what Paul calls the good news? Is that the heart of the gospel? Well, that person answers to you. What I put forward to you is that answer is nothing but a good advice, and it's not news. There's nothing newsworthy about it, and it's not news. News is something that comes from the outside of you. And if it is good news, then it gives you a joy and it transforms you from inside out. If it is a good news. So that's exactly what happened to Paul. Something big happened. It is newsworthy. It is outside of you. It was shouted on the streets of Rome. Victory, victory, I bring you good news. It is coming outside of you. To say that the essence of being a Christian is to live by golden rule, that's not news. And it's not good news. There is no breakthrough. There is only hard work and failure, but no good news. Luther made a breakthrough because he understood this news, this gospel, to be the best ever news. There was a major paradigm shift in his life. I want you to test yourself. And you really can do it. And I want you really to ponder on this. When you think about your life, about your spiritual life, and this is how you can test yourself, whether you have a chance or whether you have experienced breakthrough and whether you can experience it on a daily basis. When you think about your spiritual life, does it really boil down in essence of it? Is it mainly about what you must do? That, in fact, is the bottom line. Or is it mainly about what God did in the past and what God does now? As far as your spiritual life is concerned, what does it boil down to? Is it about you? What you must do? This is really important to understand in order for the breakthrough to take place. Look what the text says. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that comes by faith or through faith. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, according to what the text is saying, it is saying to us that we are justified by faith. So this is like a technical term on which Luther meditated and it changed his life. What does it mean? That the righteous will live by faith. We are justified by faith. Luther wrestled with it, struggled with it, tried to grasp it, tried to understand, prayed about it, and eventually became that dynamite. It became that first major breakthrough in his life. Now, I want you to listen very carefully now. The most significant change And this is the second question that we are asking. What is the gospel made of? The most significant change has taken place, which gospel proclaims. And we need to understand, what is this change? And the change with who? Is it the change with the righteous God, or is it the change with me or you as sinners? The change, the significant change that took place, is it the change within me, or is it the change in relationship to God? This is another breakthrough that it is important for us to understand. The most significant change has taken place relating to God. What do we mean by that? Look what Romans 5 says. Since we are justified by faith, we have access to this grace in which we stand. And when Paul says in which we stand, it's as if he is saying it, that we stand now in the very presence of God. Since we are justified by faith, we have access to this grace. Something has changed in relationship to God that makes the change possible. So what happened that this change relating to God was possible? Jesus did something for us so that when God looks at us, in spite of us, God's view of us and relationship to us has changed. Something that Jesus did, something that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, brought about change as far as God is concerned, so that when He looks at us, He looks at us in totally different light. And this is really what the heart of the gospel is. Something was done by Jesus which changed God's essential relationship with us. This is what's called the good news. What Jesus did on the cross of Calvary brought about essential change. A mammoth change. And that is a change of God in relationship to us. Well, I put forward to you that God always loved us. His heart for us was always real. But God was frustrated legally that there is nothing He can do for us unless something was done on our behalf. And once something was done on our behalf, God's attitude and God's relationship to us is changed. Something was launched. Something happened. This became the good news. Victory. The change has taken place. So what are the consequences of this change? God's love of us became so real because separation is no longer there. Is no longer there. Jesus did something on the cross, and the wall of separation is broken through. There is none of it. So His love can be real and tangible, and can make all the difference. God's acceptance of us is total and full and real. That's what happened on the cross. God's relationship to us became different. It was legally achieved. Our relationship has changed. God's relationship towards us has changed. You see, this has happened outside of us. But it was so significant, so important, that it makes all the difference. This is what you call a real breakthrough. And this is another breakthrough that you and I need to understand. And it is recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 22. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So what does that mean? What does it mean that Jesus was made sin? What does it mean? Sinful? He became selfish, greedy, angry, or whatever? Of course not. So what does it mean that he became sin? You see, he was treated as our sins deserve to be treated. That's what it means. When your sin and my sin and sins of the world came upon Christ, he was treated the way we are supposed to be treated. He was covered by our sins and treated how our sins deserve to be treated. He became what Apostle Paul says, a sin for us. In him, that's the first part of that good news that can be a breakthrough for us. This exchange, if you will, took place. And then it says, and Paul says, in him we became righteousness of God. What does that mean? What does it mean? We became covered by his victory. All that he deserved, he showered upon us. This does not necessarily mean that the change of character straight away took place, but our understanding came about that he became like sin for us. What we deserve, it was upon him. And what he deserved was upon us. His victory was given to us, accounted to us. You see, the first breakthrough is this. Gospel is not good advice. It is a good news. The second breakthrough is that you are clothed in righteousness that you do not deserve. You are clothed in righteousness that you do not deserve. And this is the news that you need to hear. It needs to penetrate into your mind to understand it. Because righteous will live by faith. When you hear it and you accept it, you start to live by faith. And faith alone. You are legally right with God. You accept this by faith. This is not advice. This is news that needs to penetrate every single one of us. You and I are legally right with God. And the relationship has changed. God is treating us differently. Through Christ Jesus, we are treated differently. You see, as soon as you wake up in the morning, something will take hold of you. I want to propose to you, as soon as you wake up every single morning of your life, something will take you within its grasp. Something will take hold of you. Something will take a possession of you. Something strong, and you will go along with it. It may potentially be little idols of your life. Whatever you need to do, work, something will take a possession of you. But my proposition to you is, if you are to make a breakthrough, you need to hear this news over and over again. And this is the good news, that you are a cherished child of God, that Jesus died for you. And it all makes all the difference. You are loved by God. Victory, victory, victory is what you need to hear every day of your life. You stand in the presence of a righteous, powerful, holy, yet merciful God who loves you, who put the righteousness of Christ on you, and you are his. That is the grasp within which you need to live on a daily basis. That's what Martin Luther understood. That's what Zwingli understood. That's what Jerome understood. That's what Haas understood. That's what Ellen White understood. That's what I understand. That's what you need to understand. And live within the grasp of that good news. Victory, victory, victory. When Luther discovered this, he said, "This is amazing." And he lived every life in the shadow of the cross. This then brought about transformation and change in his life. And he never looked back. The world was changed. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is a power of God that brings about salvation. So that is the third question. That is third what. What is the power of the gospel? What is the power of the gospel? I want you to see that the text is not saying gospel brings power. It doesn't say that gospel results in power. It says gospel is the power. What you heard me say about the good news, that Jesus died for you and me, and by doing so our sins have been forgiven, and the righteousness of God is applied to me, and I stand in the presence of God as if I have never sinned, because he looks at me as if he looks at Jesus. And that is a good news, because before any character transformation takes place, and when that good news penetrates me, it brings a deep joy within me, and I say, God, I don't deserve any of this. He said, I know, I've done everything for you. That is the power upon which everything else stands. That power alone, if it takes hold of us, will make a breakthrough in our lives. Something will take a possession of you every single day as you wake up. The question is it the gospel? Or is it something else? The world today is being possessed by many different things. By ideologies. Ideologies of the left, or cultural Marxism, or ideologies of the right. And the world is tired. And the world needs to hear the message that we stand right in the presence of God because of Jesus. It is so simple, yet it is so powerful. Gospel is the power. You see, you have made a breakthrough when gospel, which was offensive. You see how Paul said, I am not ashamed. Because it's as if there was an offensiveness of the gospel. So you have made a breakthrough when gospel, which was offensive to you and is still offensive to others, has become so attractive to you that it gives you the greatest joy. You have made the breakthrough when the gospel disturbs you. If you're sitting there in your comfortable chair, this gospel needs to disturb you to the point of bringing such a joy to you that you grasp and understand and you come and say, I am so grateful. I'm so grateful that God loves me as if I have never sinned because of Jesus. God has taken that sin upon himself. And has given you this righteousness and covers you. And this is the victory. Live in that by faith. Live in it by faith. Let joy come to you. So the gospel disturbs you. There's a fastness on the gospel when you start to hear and understand the gospel. It starts to disturb you and upset you. It starts to wrestle with you. Is this possible? Is this too simplistic? Is this it? Then you start to feel its power. You start to feel its power. You have made a breakthrough when your motives and behavior start to change and you feel this fresh love for Jesus. You start to feel and experience more and more of that love. And you can see that it is not only victory which is proclaimed from the outside, but it is also victory which is coming through you by the power of that gospel. So today, my prayer for you and for me is that you and I make this breakthrough. I pray that you, when you wake up in the morning, this good news will possess you. In the words of Ellen White, the righteousness of by faith will be that light that will shine in that dark world. You and I need to hear it every single day and wake up to the reality of it. Jesus covered me, and a gratitude that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit grabs my heart, and I live the heart of gratitude to God for what He has done for me. I pray that God can, and God does, and God that God will make a breakthrough in your personal life. His attitude changed illegally towards us at the cross. And He says, if you accept my Son, you have everything in heaven available for you. My love, my devotion, my spirit, my blessing, my inheritance will be upon you. You have eternal life. You have everything that comes from me to you. In the gift of my Son, you are mine. This is the breakthrough that I pray for you, that I pray for me. So let us experience it. You need it. Your spouse needs it. Your child needs it. The world needs it. What are you possessed by? There is something. Is it the gospel? Be disturbed by it. Be stirred by it. May the Holy Spirit do its work upon you and me through the power of the gospel. That is my prayer. Let us pray. Father, I pray that the power of the gospel will enlighten our hearts, will stir our hearts, will change our hearts, that we will wake up every day and that we will be possessed by it, that the joy will fill our hearts, that we will shout victory, that the world will hear of this, that the world will know of this. Father, you want us to hear the good news and not just good advice. The good news that we hear coming from the cross of Calvary. The good news that when it is lodged in our hearts will bring a victory in our lives. So Lord, please stir our hearts. Stir our hearts. Let no power of demon stand in the way of this good news. So Lord, I pray for every person who is a member of our church, every person who is listening to this message, to read once again and to be disturbed and stirred this morning, to make a breakthrough in their lives. When they wake up in the morning, that their feet will be light, and that we will be servants and slaves of this gospel, as others are slaves of their idols, so that we are also slaves of this gospel. Please hear our prayer as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.